The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today is September the 6th in the year, they say it is 2016. This year is going by so fast, I tell you. And it is a Tuesday afternoon. It's a hot Tuesday afternoon here in North Carolina, but I'm not complaining too much because it's far worse out there in California with all those fires still going on. Today will just be a short broadcast. Want to share some news stories with you, but as always, if anybody has anything that they would like to share on today's broadcast, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Hit star 6 and 1 if you would like to comment. The studio line is 704-951-5030. So there's just a few stories that I'm looking at today. Won't be on over an hour today. Still working on the reports and some stuff behind the scenes. So don't want to stay on more than I have to. Not that I don't enjoy being here, but just when there's work to be done, it's not going to do itself. So anyway, this is what I'm looking at in the news today. Now, Lost in the Insult by Filipino president, I believe you pronounce his name, Duterte, something like that. I'm not sure. But anyway, he made a very nasty, uncalled for comment towards the CEO of USA Inc., Barack Obama. It doesn't matter how critical I am of the things that he has done as CEO of USA Inc. I would never disrespect the man by calling him a son of a bitch or a son of a whore. The media can't make up, you know, their mind on the translation. But apparently that is what caused President Obama to cancel a meeting with the Filipino president. So I imagine that that was going to generate a few headlines. But from my perspective, what's getting lost is the fact that the Filipino government, under this man's leadership, who just came into power this year, has been killing suspected drug dealers, suspected drug addicts. Again, the key word is suspected. And I don't believe that we should be killing people for using any kind of substance, as long as they not harming other people. They not selling the kids, you shouldn't be. I'm just not for capital punishment. I'm not for the death penalty, even under the most heinous circumstances or crime. I'm just not for that, because there have just been too many mistakes, and I believe too many people put to death who were actually innocent. Here in the United States, we keep seeing people get let out of prison all the time because they didn't do the crime that they were convicted of. So I'm always against capital punishment and the death penalty. But in Philippines, I mean, they are just what they call extrajudicial killings by law enforcement and vigilantes, which this man has encouraged ordinary citizens to attack and kill these people. Now, you know, the United States, it was said that President Obama planned to bring up the human rights issue and bring this up with this man since he's killed over 2,000 people alleged to have been drug dealers or users of drugs, and as well as their families. Over 2,000 people since June, I believe, is when this man took office. So President Obama, it was said that he was going to bring that up. I think some reporters mentioned that to this Filipino president, that he was going to bring up human rights and these extrajudicial killings. And that is what caused the man to, again, no excuse for him using that kind of vulgar language towards anyone. You know, but call this man a son of a bitch or a son of a whore, I mean, that's just really out of bounds, man. I just really, especially when you are a dependent of the United States. And the Filipino president tried to say, oh, we used to be a colony, but we're no longer a colony. Oh, yes, you are. Any country that takes money from the United States government, taxpayer money that we didn't approve, we didn't say get them all that money, but any country that's dependent on handouts from the United States government is a colony. You are a colony. You are not meeting your own needs. You are taking handouts from other people. You are a colony. You have been colonized, and so you should just accept that. You should just accept that. So anyway, he has talked about this president about, you know, Philippines being a colony in the past, and you don't tell us what to do anymore, and blah, 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 blah. And he made some good points in terms of colonialism, even though I don't agree with him. I don't think they've achieved independence whatsoever. Okay. But, you know, nobody is really, well, I should say very few people are looking at the fact that the United States is responsible for the global drug war. So any drug dealers, drug users, suspected or not, that are being murdered extrajudicially in the streets of the Philippines, we can all trace the drug war back to the United States. They are most responsible for all the drug war violence that's going on the planet, whether it is the violence associated with the police and other law enforcement agencies enforcing this drug war, or whether or not it is the gangs, it is the drug cartels who are killing each other as well as other people as they try to hold on to their market share. So all of this is a result of the demonization of drugs, the demonization of people who use drugs that have been going on for a number of decades here in the United States. I mean, Richard Nixon said that all these people was dying from heroin overdoses, and it was a complete lie, but he used that to say that this is why we need to fight a drug war. But behind the scenes, he was telling his chief of staff, oh, this is just a way for us to target anti-war protesters. This is a way for us to target black people with this drug war. And so it has spread from there, emanating from the United States. So I want to look at some factual information concerning this. I'm not so concerned, even though, you know, I don't agree with calling the president's mama a bitch or a whore. That's not cool. But you know, we have to look at we can't be sidetracked by the side issues and what have you. But I would say that, you know, the United States, its politicians, its CEO of USA Inc. is most responsible for all of this violence. So I'll take a look at some stories, share some information that will bolster my assertions. Also, and this is a related story, and I picked this one on purpose. But last month, August the 30th, in Florida, okay, a Hillsborough County deputy shot and killed 22-year-old Lavonia Daddy Man Riggins in his home in Claremel, a community which is to the southeast of Tampa. So that's down there in Florida. The murder happened during a squat raid for what appears to be 2 grams of cannabis, which don't even amount to $40. So they sent trained killers. They sent the squat team after a 22-year-old broke up in his house and then killed him in his bed while he was getting out the bed. So that's an extrajudicial killing related to the drug war here in the United States. So whenever we see the CEO go off to these other countries and point the finger at them and saying that they don't respect people's human rights, come on now. We live in the belly of the beast, and all of this is just so common. These sort of stories are just far too common here in the United States. That's why you got so many people over the past years who have been organizing and marching and protesting, demonstrating against police violence in this country. And most of it is related to the drug war, which is really the drug war in itself is just a tool that racist politicians use to lock up as many black people as possible. And indeed, the United States has the world's largest prison slave plantation or prison slave population. Nobody has one law. Not the Philippines, not China, not Korea, nobody behind this failed 40 plus year drug war. And these extrajudicial killings are going on right here. So, you know, how you gonna go to another country and be trying to point out to them, oh, y'all just taking it too far, you aren't giving these people a trial, you're just killing them in the streets? Same thing is happening right here, Mr. CEO Obama, and I know you know about it because enough people been calling you, sending you emails, sending you petitions, and begging you to do something about it. Which all he did was form a presidential policing commission for the 21st century that was headed up by a cop who now oversees a police department engaged in police brutality and violation of people's rights. So, again, I don't take any of these people serious. If they're moving their lips, they're lying. So that's just a shame. And I learned about this story from our guest from last week, Mrs. Brown, whose husband was killed by police in 2013, and now her son has participated in his sit-in demonstration or protest of the national anthem. So this is how I got this story, because they are activists down there in Florida, and she shared this, and I'm sharing it with you to point out to you that what's happening in the Philippines is not isolated to the Philippines. It's happening right here in the United States. Extrajudicial killings. Over 1,000 people in the United States every year are killed by police. I'm not saying all of them were, you know, unjustified. I'm not saying that some of these people weren't trying to kill other people or even shoot at the cops, but for the most part, what I see is just an excessive use of force. Just far too many people are dying, and many of these people are unarmed. I just read about an unarmed homeless man getting on a bicycle and being shot by cops. I think that was that in San Francisco where I saw this, or either Oakland. And it turned out to be a white man, but black activists turned out to demonstrate on his behalf. I think one of the guys that was mentioned said he didn't even know it was a white guy at first, but then when he found out, he said it don't matter. What matters is that police are shooting innocent people, unarmed people down in the street. So, you know, it just gets under my skin, really, when I see these people like CEO Obama going to these other countries and trying to talk about somebody else's human rights record, when the human rights record here in the United States is abysmal. And this, I don't know about other nations, but I know that this nation still practices legalized slavery, legalized through the U.S. Constitution and the 13th Amendment. So the last story that I will share, look, we got rapists and we got child pornography consumers who are getting probation. More than one rapist that I've heard about in the news has gotten probation. Of course, they're white. You know they're white. I shouldn't even have to say that. You know that these are white boys that's getting all this probation for raping people. I even found a story where you had a child porn consumer. I don't know if he was producing it, but he got busted with a whole bunch of child porn, and they gave this dude probation. Gave him probation. No prison time whatsoever. But then we got a homeless black woman. She was homeless at the time. I don't know if she's homeless now. But we had a homeless black woman enroll her child into a public school only to find herself convicted by a judge on charges that she stole over $15,000, a felony theft charge, something like that, that she stole over $15,000 worth of free public school services, saying she didn't live in the district. Now, she was homeless. She was sleeping in a van at the time in different places. And the little boy's babysitter lived in the county where she enrolled him in school. That makes sense if she got a babysitter and that's where the child's going to be going to school and the babysitter. But to put this woman, to sentence this woman to 6 years in prison while you letting child pornographers and rapists get off with probation. Get off with probation and you send this woman to prison for 6 years. Not a suspended sentence and 6 years probation, but 6 years prison time. 6 years prison time for sending your child to a public school saying that she ripped off taxpayers. Well, taxpayers finna get ripped off again because they finna foot the bill for a enslaved woman who shouldn't even be in prison. She's a slave now. They sentence her to 6 years a slave. This is pathetic. This is pathetic. But we're all supposed to stand up at these sporting events and put our hands over our heart and sing the racist national anthem while all of this is going on, and we're supposed to profess, oh, this is the greatest place on the face of the earth. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. You know, a lot of people, if they could, I assume they would go somewhere else. But that ain't the answer. Not when we have sacrificed so much towards this country. No, that ain't the answer. The answer is, how about you stop practicing racism? How about you stop practicing slavery? Why don't you stop violating people's human rights? And let's really make this the best place on the planet to live, because as far as I can tell by all the indicators, this is one of the worst places to live, especially depending upon your skin color or your economic status in your zip code. So all of these stories highlight what a terrible place this is, what a terrible government we have over us, ruling over us. And it's just no other logical conclusion that I feel that a person could come to. You know, if they really look at what this country is doing objectively. If you look at the facts objectively, I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion. So let's go ahead and jump into this first story again. Well, before I hit the first story, let me just reel off some of the stuff that has been posted, some of the upcoming events that's happening for the black community. These are posted for you, and you'll find them posted in btrcommunity.com. That's btrcommunity.com. There's a couple of new events. Again, they're still looking for a preschool instructor for a Afrocentric homeschool collective that's in Atlanta. So if you're a preschool instructor, you're looking for employment, please check that out. Also, there is going to be tomorrow, what's tomorrow, the 7th, there will be a Baltimore town hall about policing reforms. So you can find out more information about that. It starts at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, I believe. Please go check out those details. Also, tomorrow night, that free food preparation online workshop will be going on. Let me see, the September 9th prison strike, NYC solidarity with BX120 and all prisoners. Let's see what else we got here on the 9th, for National Moral Day of Action. Also on the 9th in Washington, D.C., there will be the 2016 North Carolina Business and Economic Development Summit. Let me see. Here is something interesting. It's not until a couple of weeks, so I'll just hold off on announcing these. But it's a whole lot of stuff that has been posted in the event section on BTR Community. Some of the things may be happening near you, so please check that out. Please check that out. And to the members of the BTR Community, hey, if you got something going on in your local area, whether you're a part of it or not, if you think that other people might want to go to it or it would be beneficial to our community, please, by all means, share. It don't cost you nothing to share. All right. So that's some of the events of the day. I really don't have any network news. I'm still working on the statistical reports, especially that podcast report, because we're using a new service provider in terms of keeping up with all the podcast downloads and getting other statistical information. We're using a new one, and it's a little bit different than the old service I was using. And I tell you, I got to go through, like, for August, like 101 pages of podcasts that had been downloaded for the month of August. So it doesn't sort them out by program, so I had to sort all that out. So I'm still working on that. We will not have, I did send out the station report for Black Talk Radio Station, the statistical data for August, but it was incomplete considering we had to move to a new server. It was a forced move. The other server, the company that we was leasing in that server through, went out of business. We had been with them for 3 or 4 years, and they went out of business without any kind of warning and forced us to find another server that we could lease. And so I found another server that was like in the last week of August, and the reports only get generated on the first day of the next month. So no report from the old server because they shut it down for the month was out. And the new server, I was only up for about a week and a half. So not much statistical information. I mean, there's some there. You see thousands of people did tune in that week, but for the most part, it was missing 75% of the data. So I just put it out in its raw form. I was not going to spend any time sorting out that and putting it in a custom report that's easier for people to read. But next month, we'll be all set, all good to go. Not really having any more issues with the server. I upgraded the software we were using on the server to the latest software to manage the radio streams. It's more secure. Also, got a secure URL to access the control panel. So just did a whole lot of things that I feel like will improve the security moving forward. For whatever reason, maybe because we identify ourselves as a black radio station, we have suffered numerous attacks over the years, cyber attacks over the years, They never were able to really take us down for an entire day or anything like that. But they did cause some problem and some work, you know, for me. And so, but hopefully moving forward, even though we were forced to move, it may turn out to be a good thing, because again, we did did all of those upgrades, and things should be more secure for not only this station, but for the client stations as well that get their streams, lease their streams through our server. So I think that's all. I can't think of anything else. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to this next story. Again, you don't have to stick to my agenda. Anything that you feel like is important that isn't getting any attention that the Black Talk Radio listeners need to be made aware of, you can do so. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032, pound, hit *6 and 1 to comment, and 704-951-5030 will get you in on the studio line. So let me go to the event I posted for today in BTR community, where I posted all the news stories. This main story that I'm looking at is this Filipino president, I think his name is Duterte, something like that, and he called President Obama a son of a bitch and a son of a whore. I don't know what the translation was, but that's what the media headlines are saying. So I guess they couldn't find nobody Filipino to give them a translation. So it's between those two of what this man has said. But he's known for having a vulgar mouth. They said he even cussed out the Pope one time and what have you. So he's known for being a straight shooter. And yeah, but that was just really, really uncalled for. But I don't want to get distracted. He said what he said. He shouldn't have said what he said. It was rude. It was just uncalled for. But let's look at the issue. What's the issue? Apparently this man got angry because President Obama was supposed to say something to him during a meeting about all of these people that you've been killing in the street. Ain't even getting them trials or nothing. You done ordered the police and encouraging regular citizens to just go out and kill people suspected of dealing drugs or suspected of using drugs. Over 2,000 people have been killed since this man took office in June. But here's the thing, though. Who started the global drug war? The United States started the global drug war. But this is some of what's going on over there. Let me share a couple of these articles with you. Here, this article comes to you from the BBC. It says that Obama called off the meeting with a Filipino leader after the whore comment. Mr. Duterte was responding to the U.S. president's promise to raise the issue of drug-related extrajudicial killings in the Philippines at their meeting. The Philippine leader, known for his colorful language, has insulted prominent figures before, but this time it has had diplomatic consequences. He has now said he regrets the remark. Yeah, because you probably know that all the butter biscuits that your country is getting, you want to claim your independence, but you're not really independent because you're taking all this money from the United States government, and he who pays the piper names the tune, all right? So I guess he hates drug dealers and drug users so much, man, that don't even matter. That, you know, he's not going to hear anything from anyone about this. He's just going to do what he's doing. So, again, where did all of this demonization of drug users or drug abusers come from? It started here in the United States. It started here when they was demonizing Mexican migrant workers, demonizing black jazz musicians, coming out with the 1930s film called, what was it called, Reefer Madness. And we just been hit with all of this propaganda to justify all of these people being put in prison and some even being killed in the streets. So ain't nothing going on in the Philippines any different than what's going on here in the United States. He is just, I mean, it's more than law enforcement involved in the killing over there. I guess he's deputized these citizens and said, go kill these people. But what's the difference? Like, we don't have extrajudicial killings going on right here in the United States at the hands of law enforcement and vigilantes. Again, who is anyone? Who is anyone from the United States to go to any country and point fingers at their problems with all the problems that exist right here, all the human rights abuses? Let me, they're not really sharing anything, talking about he's called other people. He called Pope Francis the son of a whore. He called John Kerry crazy, and he referred to a U.S. ambassador to the Philippines a gay son of a whore. So let me see if they are sharing anything that's worth sharing with you. Okay, how the row escalated. Mr. Obama, who flew to Laos after attending the G20 meeting in Hangzhou, China, had been set to raise concerns about human rights abuses in the Philippines. But speaking in Manila on Monday before he left for Laos, Mr. Duterte bristled at the suggestion, saying the Philippines has long ceased to be a colony. Not if you're taking that money, you not. So, Patang Ina, I swear at you in that forum, he then said, using a tag-log phrase meaning son of a whore or son of a bitch. Mr. Obama initially appeared to play down the insult, calling his Philippine counterpart a colorful character and saying he had asked his aides to work out if this is a time when we can have some constructive, productive conversations. His aides later canceled the talks. So he canceled the talks. Now, let's see. In his comments on Monday, President Duterte pledged to continue his anti-drug campaign that has led to the killing of 2,400 suspected drug dealers and users. See, he ain't even looking at these people like they got a problem, like they got a sickness. He ain't trying to get them no help. They're just killing people. So this has been going on since he took office in June. This is what he said. This is a direct quote. Many will die. Plenty will be killed until the last pusher is out of the streets. Until the last drug manufacturer is killed, we will continue, he said. The United Nations has repeatedly condemned Mr. Duterte's policies as a violation of human rights. Well, again, the United Nations is also a part of enforcing the global drug war. All these people that's in prison behind nonviolent drug, victimless drug crimes. The UN. Well, of course, the United States forced them to take that position, but it's through the UN. Now, a couple of articles that I had shared, it talked about how Joe Biden recently made comments saying the United States will never end the drug war. Never. We'll never do it. Too many slaves being created. Y'all keep thinking Democrats is your friends. All right. So, and he's partly responsible for the increase in slave catchers on the street. He had a hand in writing them bills. But y'all keep thinking there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. The only difference is some are more codified than others, but they're all racist. And don't point to no black people, because the only thing I'm going to say is proxy. All right. So anyway, I remember this went on at the conference of, what would we call it? It was a meeting between the United States and the South American country, Central America, South America. So it's like some kind of, it has something to do with the Americas, some kind of conference they had. And so a lot of them down there that are suffering from drug war violence, again, they're forced. Well, I ain't going to say they forced to, because everybody got free will. They freaking cowards. If they going to, or they are dependent on money from the United States, and if they dare stand up and do what's best for their own countries, well, then they lose that money. Well, then I just have to lose that money then. But many of those countries in South America, south of the United States border, have said they no longer want to prosecute the drug war. They want to legalize cannabis, because we could bring in so much money from taxes, and that would put the drug cartels out of business, because that's where they make the most of their money. It's not from heroin, not from cocaine, but from cannabis. This would take cannabis out of the streets. This would lead to a reduction in the violence. But what did President Obama say? No. He said no. Again, all these, man, I'm willing to bet you that 75% of the nations in this world are colonies of the United States. Because they sure give billions of dollars away to all these different nations, but yet, you know, for some reason, they can't seem to help the people in this country that need the most help. Whether we're talking about poor people or whether we're talking about the veterans. Lots of people not being helped, while the United States is giving what they call humanitarian aid and other military aid, as well as money directly to fight the drug war. And when they try to express their free will, here come the United. No, you can't do that. No, you can't. So I would say 75% of the nations in the world that are taking money from the United States government, those are basically bribes. Those are bribes. Or butter biscuits to get you addicted to the taste of butter biscuits. And then when you act like you want to express some free will or act like a sovereign nation, oh, we taking them butter biscuits away. Then you start having the butter biscuits withdrawals. And next thing you know, you go crawling back to Master. Master, can I please have some more butter biscuits? It is just shameful. It's just a sad commentary on non-white people in this world today. How the hell you gonna be 95% of the world's population and you just allow these people to take your free will? Because you afraid to stand up, you afraid to die. I don't care. People make all kinds of excuses. I don't care to hear those excuses, because that's what they are. Oh, you just don't understand white supremacy. Oh, I understand white supremacy perfectly. And I understand that it only operates through the participation of its victims. 95% of the world population is non-white, and you're going to let 5% of the world dominate you? And the only reason they dominate you is because non-white people are in their armed forces, are in their governments. We won't act like these black people who are doing these things are invisible. Oh, they ain't part of the problem. Let's ignore them or whatnot. Again, there is nothing that these racist crackers have done that black people, especially in this country, have not helped them to do. Whether we're talking about the Revolutionary War, whether we're talking about stealing land from the natives, we have always participated in this stuff. And it's time that we acknowledge our incorrect behavior and stop making excuses and start moving towards some correct behavior, which is to practice justice. Didn't mean to go off on that rant, but I just get so tired of these white people being put up on a pedestal like they freaking gods or something. That's what supreme means. It means God. These people are not gods, because a god wouldn't need me to help him do anything. A god wouldn't have to trick me or manipulate me to get me to do anything for him. He's God. He can do whatever with a snap of a finger. He don't need me to fight in his military. He don't need me to be part of his police force. He don't need me to keep the slaves in their place on the plantation. He don't need me. If he's God, he can do it by himself. Don't mistake a position, in the long scheme of things, in the long scheme of history, these people ain't even been in power that long. And again, they only came to power because non-white people helped them. You can argue with me all you want to, but you can't argue with the historical facts. So I'm just sick and tired of this. And then we allow them to corrupt our minds, and then we're like this dude over there in the Philippines, just killing people for no good reason. So I just get sick of this, man. I'm tired of this system. It's time for it to be over. It ain't all that hard to figure out. We keep participating. We keep joining. I'm telling you, man, y'all don't believe me. I told my daughter over my dead body, y'all ain't neither one of you going in the military. I know I went in the military. I didn't have all the information at the time. And they did not go. When we start telling our children to stop joining the military, I don't care how bad it gets, because us joining the military ain't made life no better. Life wasn't any better. As soon as I came out of the military, I was being discriminated against in employment. I actually won a lawsuit against a company that had laid me off. I was the only black employee, laid me off, and then called everybody back except me. And some of them white guys that I had played basketball with them and stuff like that, you know, on the weekend, they was like, why you ain't come back to work? I was like, they call y'all back to work? I was like, ain't nobody called me. And I went and filed my complaint. That is the only one I ever won. But I had just got out the military. So don't think that military, oh, look at all these people, veterans in these jails. 700,000 of them in there for nonviolent victimless crimes. Look at all these veterans, mostly black ones. I've seen some white ones too, but mostly black ones getting beat up in these jails by black guards. Who said that? I think it was Public Enemy. Chuck D said that it's weak to speak and blame somebody else when you destroying yourself. That's weak. You want to point the finger at everybody but ourselves. Chuck D is right. It's weak. It's weak when you don't want to examine yourself and change your behavior. Because it is no logical, mathematical, scientific way that these racists, with their low numbers, should be able to dominate the planet like they dominating it if it wasn't for proxies. So anyway, let me move on. Oh man, I done ran over. Let me go ahead and take a station identification break. I'll come back and I'll jump on these other stories. But that's pretty much the hypocrisy. Don't be distracted. Yeah, it was wrong. He shouldn't have called President Obama's mama a whore. I don't know anything about any of that, but it's just disrespectful. Even if he ain't doing nothing worth respecting, it's still disrespectful when you interacting with somebody. You know, you shouldn't resort to calling them names, and especially vulgar names like that. Hell, I'd have canceled the meeting too. If he'd have done anything other than cancel that meeting, he'd just really showed even to even more people how spineless he is and has no self-respect. But he showed some self-respect. He canceled that meeting on in that issue. But still, though, how you gonna talk to that man about some civil rights or some human rights when we don't even have human rights here in the place that you say you the most powerful man on the planet? That's what we keep hearing, right? The president, most powerful position on the planet, except for when it's a black man, then, you know, he can't do nothing. Now, all of a sudden, oh, it, you know, hey, it's just one man. He can't do nothing. Yeah, but the rest of the world say that he's the most powerful man on the planet. So, you know, can't have both ways. But the hypocrisy for him to go over there to try to point out some extrajudicial killings or to say anything about the drug war when he ain't ended the drug war here. And I heard him getting some props today from some people who probably don't know all the information behind. They were saying, oh, when he came in, the crack cocaine disparity, well, 100 to 1, dropping it down to 16 to 1 is still a disparity. Is it as harsh? No, it's not as harsh. It's still a disparity. But then what they did not perhaps know was that when people started applying to get out, that the Obama administration, while Eric Holder was there, the Department of Justice fought these men and women in court to not have that new law apply to them retroactively. They actually fought in court to keep people in prison, knowing that they, and then so, what the hell? Why you pass a law pointing out, oh, it was unjust to sentence these people to all these years? Why you let all these white people with powder cocaine, you know, they been out of prison. These people doing life in prison. Well, what you going to change it for and then stop people from having it retroactively applied to them? And then all of this clemency stuff, see, y'all just reading headlines and y'all ain't reading behind what's going on behind the scenes. This man is in full support of the U.S. drug war. When he was asked to remove cannabis from the Schedule One list of drugs, most dangerous drugs with no medicinal value, he said no. He said, if you want it changed, pass a law. Why we got to pass a law? You know it's unjust. You know the science says that it is no more harmful than alcohol, and alcohol legal. And everybody don't have a problem with consuming alcohol, and it's under the executive branch. You don't need Congress. Why you want to tell people to pass a law? Take some leadership if you know the drug war is unjust and causing all this harm to black people and communities of color. But he gets a pass. He can't do it all by himself. The stuff he can do by himself, he rarely does. Because he wasn't, like he told you, he the president of America. He ain't president of black people or nobody else. He a president of America, and really he's the CEO of USA Inc. His number one interest is to look out after the interests of his shareholders. That would be the Federal Reserve and everybody that's getting filthy rich off of subsidizing the United States government's budgets by printing up funny money that ain't even got no kind of value. Or that is his job. That's his main job. All this stuff going to these other countries talking about human rights abuses, that's just a front. That is just a show. That's for show. It ain't nothing but talk. It's for show. Well, no country violate its people more than the United States. None. And I challenge anyone to present any facts that shows any different. All these homeless people. Now, I'm going to take this station identification break, and we're going to talk about one of the extrajudicial killings that happened at the end of last month right down there in Florida. Right down there, and it's connected to the drug war. But I won't hear President Obama say anything to these slave catchers out here saying y'all doing too much killing. You know, come on, man. Why would you kill somebody over $40 worth of weed? Like he's some kind of major kingpin. Man, it's sickening. Listening to Black Talk Radio News, my name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. We'll be back on the other side.
I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. This young man, again, I just found out about this story today, but he was killed August the 30th in this little community outside of Tampa, Florida. Let me share this article with you from liberationnews.org, written by Brian Ellis on September the 4th, a couple of days ago. I tell you, there's just so many victims, man. It's just hard to keep up with them all. I'm telling you, every day, somebody getting killed by slave catchers in this country. On August the 30th, Hillsborough County deputies shot and killed 22-year-old Lavonia Daddy Man Riggins in his home in Clare Mill, a community to the southeast of Tampa. The killing happened during a squat raid for 2 grams of cannabis. Do I have to tell y'all, man, how little 2 grams is? 2 grams? That ain't nothing. That's only worth on the street about $40. But again, we got people selling pounds of weed in states in this union. They selling pounds of weed in Colorado. They selling pounds of weed in Alaska. They've been selling pounds of weed in California, even though they only got medicinal. All of these mostly white states is selling probably tons of weed by now. Some of them been around since for a couple of years now. But you got squat teams doing raids on black families for 2 grams of weed. Wow. In the early morning, while a squat team surrounded the house, Deputy Caleb Johnson broke through a window into Riggins' bedroom. The deputy fatally shot Riggins as he got out of bed. Riggins was unarmed and had been asleep. So you break in this man's house. I think it was his mom's house. You bust in the window of his bedroom. He sits up on the bed to get out the bed, and you shoot him dead. Why isn't this slave catcher been arrested? Why hasn't he been indicted? Why hasn't he been charged? Because, don't you know, this man deserved to get killed. He's a filthy drug user and may have been selling. He's filthy. He's the scum of the earth. He deserved to die. That's how a lot of people think. They think just like that Filipino president. Riggins was well known in Clare Mill, and since the killing, the community has taken to the streets to demand justice. On the night of September the 1st, 5 people were arrested during protest on 78th Street. The Get No Go on 78th, where Riggins worked, has become a gathering spot. Look, this boy was employed, gainfully employed. 2 grams, I would not consider him no drug dealer. He might have smoked. I don't know. And then how do I know he really had it? Because for all I know, the man who shot him probably had 2 grams in his pocket. And then sprinkled some weed on him after he done killed him. We don't know. They definitely didn't have any body cams on. So anyway, this is some of the things that people have been saying. They've been saying that the media and the police, through the media, have been demonizing this young man, making him look like he was one of these gangbangers that we hear promoted on terrestrial radio, y'all know what I'm talking about, that gangster rap. That you would think that he was one of those fictional characters that they sing about in these rap songs. You would think that he was the second coming of Tony Montana or something. A squad team? They sent a squad team. Busted into this house, a no-knock raid. Let me see. After the killing, the sheriff's office and Tampa Bay Times, and this goes to what I talked about yesterday in the media and Soledad's ignorant comments about all of a sudden cable news is normalizing white supremacy through their coverage of Donald Trump's campaign. When has media not normalized so-called white supremacy? When, Soledad? When? Tell me when. After the killing, the sheriff's office and Tampa Bay Times quickly moved to portray Riggins as a dangerous criminal. However, Liberation News participated in protests September the 3rd, learning from Reagan's neighbors, friends, and family who the young man really was. "I would want people to know that my brother is a great and loving person," said Devon Riggins. "It's crazy that they took him while he was changing his life around. He was always home with his mother. He wanted to take care of her. He was so funny. He was black with these beautiful white teeth," said Pew, also a brother of Riggins. "He was a jokester. He liked to clown. He was a funny guy. And all he wanted to do was make Miss Jessie proud. She adopted him and his two brothers. He was just trying to make a living and take care of his family." Another person by the name of Anthony Pledger said he was like an icon, one of the best people you'll ever meet in your life. So let me continue on. "My kids spoke very highly," Brandy Jeffrey told Liberation News. "They would walk to Claire Mail Elementary, and every morning he gave them dollars, made sure they had snacks. And when I picked them up in the evening, he watched them until I got here. The person we know is not the person who the news is trying to make him out to be. He's a good person," said B. "I personally knew him. Daddy man was always telling other people, keep their heads up and everything gonna be all right." That night, 150 people gathered outside the Get and Go and held signs and balloons in honor of Riggins. Multiple cars blasted F the Police by Lil Boosie as protesters again shut down 78th Street. The gathering remained strong late into the night despite the presence of over 40 sheriff's deputies. Riggins' friends, families, and neighbors say they want Deputy Caleb Johnson indicted and convicted in court again. This man was unarmed, was in the bed. You come in the early morning, you bust out his bedroom window, and then you just shoot him when he gets out the bed. Just shoots him. And like, I'm not going to read the entire article, but like some people say, this is crazy. These people talking about they fear for your life. You got a whole squad team riding with you. You got bulletproof vest on, all this gear on, helmets. You got the deadliest weapons out there on the street, and you talking about you afraid for your life. Come on, please. But I ain't heard President Obama say nothing about these extrajudicial killings in the street by these slave catchers trying to put people on a plantation over drugs. So he ain't got nothing to say to that Filipino man. What, y'all mad because he's taking it to another level? He's taking it, you know, further than what y'all wanted him to take it to, and now he's drawing too much attention to it? That's what I think is going on. They don't care about them people that he killing. No, what they care about is being embarrassed. They care about him going so far over the top that it's going to turn even more people against the drug war. That's what they concerned about. They ain't concerned about no extrajudicial killings because those is happening every day here in the United States. Why the heck do you think Colin Kaepernick and other athletes are taking a knee and protesting against the anthem? Specifically, like he said, there are bodies in the streets and their killers are getting paid leave. Just it's disgusting. It disgusts me, man. And I try not to make it personal. I try to, like, you know, not even look at CEO Obama or any politician as a human being. I try not to, because I try to look at them as politicians. They're politicians. They're crooks. They're whatever. I try not to even look at them as human beings, because I tell you, man, it's hard for me, man. It's hard for me. It's very hard for me. They disgust me so much, man. I can't tell you if I was to meet President Obama today if I wouldn't cuss him out. I wouldn't call his mama a whore or a bitch, but I might cuss him out. I might use some choice barroom talk with him. You know, he's used to hanging out in bars. We can have a beer summit, and I'll tell him how I really feel about him. So people want to act like, you know, this man isn't part of the oppression. Every black person that got on the uniform, every black person that's in these positions are part of the problem. Every last single one of them, unless they working towards justice. And that's very, very few. Whenever I've seen one really work towards justice, they get mistreated and you don't see them around no more. How the Democratic Party got rid of Cynthia McKinney because she was not going to compromise her principles and be all nice to George Bush when he done lied and got millions of people killed. And she wouldn't shake his hand, and she was going after the Pentagon for its loss, all those trillions of dollars. She was going after their contracts with DynCorp and other corporations that have been involved in child sex trafficking and what have you. Oh, no, you can't be a person like that that actually has morals, that actually has principles, because then, you know what? They going to get you out of there like they got Cynthia McKinney up out of there. And these people know that, and they go along with it. They accept the bullet biscuits, and they keep carrying out the system agenda. As long as we remain under this system, I hope there's never another black person that attains these high offices, because it ain't doing nothing but leading to the confusion of a whole bunch of people. And it's giving a racist cover. Man, this young brother did not deserve to die like that, man. He didn't deserve to die, period. $40 worth of freaking weed. You doing a squad team raid for real? Really? That's crazy. But it goes on every day to the point that it's normal. He ain't got nothing to say to the Philippines when this is going on every day. Last story I want to share with you. While we got brothers being murdered in their beds over $40 worth of weed, we get no jail time for rapists, especially if they're white, accused of, like this guy, what is his name? Is it Lochte or is it a different one? I think, no, it ain't Lochte. It's David Becker, who got probation for raping two unconscious teens at a house party in April. He was sentenced to 2 years probation. Then I came across another article where this guy got busted with some child pornography and he got 3 years probation. 28-year-old Crest Hill man who was found guilty of possessing child pornography was sentenced Monday to 3 years probation. 3 years probation and must register for life as a sex offender. Will County Judge Sarah Jones found him guilty of possession of child pornography. So I don't even care to read no more. It's just disgusting. It's just disgusting. But we got young black men and women out here that's being murdered in their own homes behind some weed, getting life in prison. And then the doggone U.S. government is the one bringing it here. And I ain't just saying that to say it, because there's actual evidence to prove it. I mean, evidence that was presented in court. So we got the young brother down there in Florida murdered by cops over $40 worth of weed. Now we got this sister. This came out this month, about 2 days ago as well. Homeless mother who sent 6-year-old son to better school gets 6 years in prison, according to Countercurrent News. If I can get this web page to act right, I might be able to read some of this to you. Y'all remember the story because we've reported it on this station. Let me see. A homeless mother who pleaded guilty to fraudulently enrolling her 6-year-old son in the wrong school district has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. I stand corrected, not six, 5 years. Wow. Okay. According to Graham Smith with Daily Mail, Tanya McDowell sent her son to an elementary school in Norwalk, Connecticut, instead of her home city of Bridgeport. McDowell entered, the 34-year-old who was homeless when she was charged with felony larceny last year, said she wanted the best education possible for the boy. McDowell entered her plea at Norwalk Superior Court under the Alford Doctrine, which means she does not admit guilt, but concedes she does not believe she will win the case. Even though that's like a no contest plea. That's not admitting guilt. It's not admitting innocence. It's just saying, hey, I'm at your freaking mercy. Hell, this your world. I'm just in it. McDowell entered her plea, where, again, she didn't admit guilt. And even though she was homeless, authorities said that she used a babysitter's address to enroll her son in kindergarten in Norwalk when he should have attended schools in Bridgeport, her last permanent address. Her case drew natural attention and support from civil rights leaders amid other advocates who wanted the charge dismissed. It was a whole big firestorm about this. I remember this because we were reporting on it. So, make a long story short, you can rape unconscious teens and you can end up with nothing but probation. You can get busted with child pornography and you can end up with nothing but probation. But you can be black and possess possibly, allegedly, 2 grams of cannabis and you can be murdered in your bed. You can be homeless and enroll your child in the school district where the child's babysitter lives that you go pick up this child from every day while you trying to find a job and better your situation, and you get charged with felony larceny and 5 years in prison. And you want to go, CEO Obama, you want to go to Philippines and talk about some human rights issues? I feel so bad for this woman. I mean, just look, y'all see the news stories, all of these people committing heinous crimes and serious crimes. Don't even get me started on Hillary Clinton and the Federal Records Act and the Espionage Act and violating security clearance protocols and all that kind of stuff. Serious crimes. You could put the nation's security at risk and nothing will happen to you. But you send your child, your black child, to a good public school, and you can get 5 years in prison. No get out of jail free card. Do not pass go. Don't collect $200. Go straight to prison. This is a disgusting. Tell me again, what country is so much, you know, worse than this one? Well, I guess it depends on how you're living. If you got, you know, butter biscuit mountains at your disposal, then I imagine life is pretty good for you. But if you happen to be the wrong color, if you happen to live in the wrong zip code, if you don't have access to resources, man, you end up 5 years a slave like this woman. She gonna be 5 years a slave. Now tell me, how is that justice? No concern. You think they was concerned about her son? No. No sympathy, no empathy whatsoever. Oh, she did it because we said that these black folks need to value education more, and these black kids need to do better in school and value education. And then when you find one, you put her in damn jail. You put her in jail. You ain't care about that child. You destroyed his family. You took his mother from him. Now where's the child going to end up? I don't know if his father's alive or if he ain't in prison already. I'm telling you, this is a disgusting place to live in. But we want to close our eyes. We want to look at our own personal situation and look at how many toys we got. Hey, I got an Xbox. Hey, I got a motorcycle, and I go riding every weekend, and I'm taking an annual vacation every year. We look at our own circumstances, and we think that it's that everybody has the same opportunities to live how we living. I'm only living how I'm living because my family was one of the few black families that actually had some land that wasn't stolen. They stole a lot of it. They didn't steal it all. That actually was able to pass some land down. That's why I'm sitting where I'm sitting, not seeing cops every freaking day riding up and down the street, pulling me over while I'm trying to just make it to the grocery store or the post office. That's why. But I don't look at my own personal situation and then think that that's all I'm supposed to look at. And I'm not supposed to look at what is going on, not just in this nation, but all over the planet, and not feel some kind of way about it. Especially since they're forcing us to pay property taxes. I mean, how much property do you really own if you got to pay taxes? If you don't pay those taxes, they coming and taking your land and auctioning it off like they did that elderly black farmers couple, family. I think that happened here in North Carolina. Sent the ATF and the ATF and U.S. Marshals after this elderly black family and threw them out on the streets. That's what I'm looking at. Not looking at my personal situation. Looking at the situation that many people find themselves in. And this woman does not, it's not justice for her to be in prison. And I hope that she appeals that conviction. It's just sickening. It's sickening. I hope that, man, if I knew about some kind of legal defense fund, I would have been told you about it or you know, contributed to it myself. But I mean, ain't no sense of us blaming ourselves for this. It's only one person to blame for this, and that's the person, the judge who found her guilty. Well, we got a few people to blame, but the ignorant prosecutor who prosecuted her, probably a racist, talking about she stole $15,000 worth of free public education, supposed to be free. Is she homeless? How the hell can she even pay taxes? See, man. People need to wake up, man. People need to wake up and stop mentioning, if you don't like it, leave it. No, I'm not leaving nothing because it ain't yours. It's mine. It's just as much as my country as anybody else's country. And what we should be doing is getting down to the dirty business of ending this racist system. Not running from it, not leaving. These people, man, I'm telling you, man, they, number one, they dying off. That's the only good thing about the wars that the United States has been fighting, is that a bunch of suspected racists have been killed and therefore not eligible to multiply. That's about the only good thing coming out of it, but far, far, far more. I'm not going to say that. I shouldn't be like that. That's mean, and I'm not that type of person to revel in anyone's death. But I'm telling you, things got to change. Things got to change. I cannot leave this world to my grandsons like it is. Now, with that said, I'm coming to a conclusion of the broadcast. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tando Radio Show will be on air. So I think they're going to do the 96-hour margin call, as well as go over some of the news stories that Dave has been taking a look at for today. All right, so recognize the fact that we live in a country that's practicing slavery. It's legal, and they practicing slavery and human trafficking. The extrajudicial killings are occurring every day. Okay, and it is not going to stop all on its own. Evil people have no goodness in their heart to do anything from the heart. They evil. They just evil. All right, that is where we live. We live on a country that manipulates people into thinking that it's something that it's not. It's a whole dog and pony show they put on. But when you recognize the truth that this place is pretty damn terrible, then hopefully you will try to make it a better place for our future seeds coming up. Otherwise, you just lying to yourself and you lying to whoever you telling those lies to, but you will not lie to me. Because I am a man who makes sure that he informs himself about what is going on, which more people would take that initiative. With that said, until Thursday, well, I'll be on air tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time with New Abolitionist Radio, where we talk about 21st century slavery and human trafficking. We ain't talking about the illegal kind. We're talking about the legalized kind. That said, y'all be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.